So today, we're going to learn about Sefirat HaOmer, which is kind of nice because it's in this week's Parsha, but this is right in the middle of the month of Iyar. Today's actually the 15th day of the month, and every day, every single day of this month is bound together by the common denominator of the fulfillment of the same mitzvah. There is nothing else quite like it. And that's the idea of Sefirat HaOmer. Pesach ends, and immediately afterwards, on the very next day, after Yom Tov, after the second day of Yom Tov, chapter 23, verse 15, the Torah says, Usfartem lochem, you will count for yourselves, mimochras haShabbos, from the day after the cessation, which we will see does not mean Shabbat in the typical sense, but rather it means the first day of Yom Tov, which is observed as a holy day. Meyoyim haviyachem es oymer hatnufa, from the day that you'll bring the Omer, which is waved, Sheva, Shabbosos, Temimos, Tehiyena. 7 intact or complete or whole weeks shall they be. So let us delve into this pasuk, this verse a little. Rashi does not say anything on the words Usfartim Lochem, Mimachras HaShabbos. Usfartim Lochem, you count for yourself. That doesn't require elucidation on the most elementary level. Sfartim. What does require elucidation is Mimachras HaShabbos. Because on one hand, we're talking about the day after Pesach. And Pesach does not necessarily fall on the same day of the week, each year. So what is the meaning of Mimachras HaShabbos? As I verbally or orally told you already, Rashi says this means Mimachras Yom Tov, from the day after Yom Tov, as it says earlier with regard to the mitzvah of the Omer, that this should be done on the 16th day of the month. We have this clear idea that it follows Pesach. And therefore, it can't be specifically Shabbat. It can't be the seventh day of the week, because Pesach doesn't always fall on the seventh day of the week. It can't be that. Temimos tehiyena, they should be intact, they should be whole. Melamed, this teaches us, says Rashi, from the fact that you say they have to be whole, Shemaschil Umoina Miba Erev, that the counting of the Omer ideally should be performed at night. So last night we should have counted that today is the 30th day of the Omer. Should have done this last night. You didn't do it last night, you should still do it today. But ideally it should be done the night before. Sheim Leikein, if you were to count Sfira only from the day, but not from the night before, Einon Temimos, then there would not be whole, or intact, or complete, because you'd be missing the night before. The night before was not counted. Only the days were counted. And since a part of your day or night wasn't counted, you don't have the concept of Temimos. But let's take a look and see what the other Mefarshim, from Rishonim to the Achronim, say about the words Usfartim Lochem. And then we'll come back to this idea of the counting of Sheva Shabbosos Tmimus Tehiyenah. So Ramban says that the meaning of Usfartem Lochem, you should count for you, he says, Shetei Sfira Lochal Echad V'Yechad, that this is a personal mitzvah, a personal responsibility, a counting that has to be performed by each and every one. Why is that a novelty? Well, it is a novelty because there are a number of different countings which are performed by the Beth Din. So therefore, when the Torah wants us to count Sefirat HaOmer, the Torah is not giving this responsibility to the ecclesiastical court of the Jewish people. This is not something that's an administrative responsibility on a national level, but rather a personal responsibility. Each and every member of Am Yisrael should be counting Sefirat HaOmer, Usfartem Lochem. This is the notion of counting for you. Now, the Paneach Raza says something very interesting. During this time of the year, which means after Pesach, here in Toronto, maybe we're still wearing coats half of these days, but in Israel, it's kind of spring already. And in Israel, the days between Pesach and Shavuot are very busy days. I would say it's like the equivalent of tax season for a lawyer, when lawyers are very busy. No, sorry, accountants. Forgive me. When accountants are up till like all hours of the night and they end up sleeping in the office and then they're busy and they have no waking hours, and it's totally meshuggah. And every year it's the same story. People running last minute with the tax returns, and they have to fill out and get all the work done on time before the deadline. Right? Am I saying all the things right? May 1st is the deadline? Yeah, and then you file for an extension?
No extensions.
No extensions, okay. So the Paneach Raza says that this is a busy time, everybody's out in the field, and because of this, the people would not know when Bezdin made the month of Sivan. They wouldn't know when Bezdin decreed it to be Rosh Chodesh and not. And they'll lose track of time. And they might not even know when Yom Tov comes out. And the Paneach Raza says, on a very literal level, this is the reason why everybody has to count. We actually know. You talk about the accountant sleeping in the office. Boaz, in the famous narrative of Megillas Rus, where does Boaz sleep? He sleeps at the threshing field. He sleeps in the office, so to speak. He's sleeping in a barn, which was really good for Rus, and things worked out really nicely. But that's subject for another day. Point is, people get very, very busy. It's the busiest season of the year. The gross national product, once upon a time, was not high-tech, but in the land of Israel, it was the produce, the things that grew. And you have to harvest everything very quickly in these couple of weeks, and after you finished harvesting in these couple of weeks, the rest of the summer was time for it to dry. Slumber was a so slow season, a relaxed season. There wasn't that much work to be done in the summer. When was the frenzied activity again? Before winter, to prepare for winter. You had to bring everything inside before the rains fell. Because once the rains fell, everything would get ruined. Now, of course, us as Canadians have like a hard time imagining this because over here it rains every third day in the summer, right? So no such thing as leaving in the field, not leaving in the field, doesn't make a difference. But in Israel, it never ever rains during the summer. It's like almost impossible to imagine such a thing. And it gets really hot, which is exactly what you need for all of the grain, the produce, the figs and grapes to cure and to dry, which is actually the meaning of kayetz. Kayetz means to dry out. So there's a very frenzied amount of activity now in the spring, at the onset of spring, and then there's a frenzied activity at the end of summer, bringing everything back into the home or into safe storage, which is called Chag HaOsef. That's why Sukkot, which we know the festivals are agriculturally based. They have a mooring to the land of Israel. So Pesach is when everything blooms, and after everything blooms and everything turns green, everything has to be cut, and that's the season, the harvest season. That's these 7 weeks. Then comes Shavuos, the harvest season is completed. And that's when people start to bring gifts to the Beis HaMikdash and Bikurim and so on and so forth. So the Paneach Raza says, everybody's so busy, nobody is going to have time to remember if it's Shavuos. You don't have a calendar to look at because the calendar wasn't dynamic. So maybe they won't even realize when Shavuos is. Therefore, he said, in the absence of all the modern technology and gizmos and gimmicks we have today, which our phone is ringing every 5 seconds, reminding us to do something else, or those days you look at a calendar at least, and they didn't have any of that. So this way, if everybody knows I have to count each day, then Shavuos doesn't come as a surprise. I can't believe how quick Shavuos came this year. It comes the same time every year. It's always 49 days, and you're counting the 49 days. Perhaps a little bit on a deeper level, that means when everybody's very involved in material pursuit, so there's kind of like a calibration, a spiritual calibration, we get reoriented to think of something holier, to think of Shavuos, to think of Torah. It comes right in the middle of the busy time, like refocus. Now we're going to count. What are we counting for? We're going out of Mitzrayim. And what are we counting up to? Counting up to Shavuos, counting up to Matan Torah. So this is perhaps on a little more of a ethical or moral teaching level, what we can glean from the Paneach Raza as well. Now the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, is one of the great Rishonim, that all of Jewish law is predicated upon his teachings, his rulings. The Rosh says something very interesting. This is not the only time in the world, or let me rephrase that, not the only time in the Torah, you find the word lachem. You find this idea of lachem with regard to the lulav. It says, ulakachtem. Ulakachtem means you should take. And when the Torah says ulakachtem, it says ulakachtem, lachem. And you probably remember that when it comes to the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, it has to be lachem. It actually has to belong to you. So what happens if somebody doesn't own a lulav and esrog? You gift it to them. And a matana, a manas la'achzer, shemo matanahu, a gift that's conditional, is still a gift. So that means during the time that the person is actually holding the arba minim, the four kinds, during that time, it's nonetheless considered as if it's really theirs. But it has to be theirs. It has to be theirs. So this idea that it has to be theirs is also articulated with the word lachem. Of course, you can own the lulav and esrog. How do you own accounting? So it doesn't seem to be in the same syntax. But it says lachem. Another mitzvah that says lachem is tzitzit. So we say, the Rosh says, with regard to Sfiras HaOmer, it's connected to the new grain. When does the counting start? Mehochel chemish bekomo. When you raise the sickle to the tall grass, to the tall grain. So since it says bekomo, to the tall grain, says the Rosh, we have an oral tradition from our ancestors that bekomo is darshaned as bakoimo. Bakoima means when it's in its full height, raised up to its full height. When is a person raised to his or her full height? He's standing. And from this we learn, he says, that the bracha al Sfiras HaOmer has to ideally be made in a standing position, not in a sitting position. And interestingly, when it comes to taking the lulav and esrog, we say the same thing. The lulav and esrog ideally should be taken when one is in a standing position. And so it is also with tzitzis. We put on a talus or a tzitzis, we're also supposed to be standing. Al-Pikabola, when you put on the tefillin shel yad, you're supposed to be sitting. But this is only for people who follow all the teachings and all the instructions of Kabbalah. But when it comes to the tzitzit, everybody says you're supposed to be standing. So this is what we learn. We see there's a link between tzitzit and lulav and esrog, and the idea of Sfiras HaOmer, this idea of standing at your full height, pulling yourself up to the full height when you count the sfira. If somebody cannot stand, chas v'shalom, right, they're wheelchair bound, of course they could make a bracha sitting. It's not, it doesn't say you can't make a bracha when you're sitting. You can also put on your talis sitting or take your lulav and esrog sitting. But ideally, the posture that should be assumed is one of standing at attention. Okay? The Or HaChaim says, Lachem, he says, L'toivaschem, for your good. For your good means L'tahireschem, to purify you. And indeed, the Maggid of Mizrich taught us that the terminology of Sefira or Usfartem is etymologically linked to the word sefirus ubehirus, which means luminescence or brilliant, illuminated, light-filled. And he said the whole idea of Sefiras HaOmer, very much like what the Or HaChaim is saying, is the notion of lighting up your life. And we'll talk about that on Shabbos in the Maimer Usfartem Lachem. So now we know quite a bit about Usfartem Lachem, and we know about this mitzvah and how it has to be performed. And how much do you count, says the Torah, you count until the end of Shabbos, which we said is the cessation, as Rashi said, the cessation of work, the second day of Pesach. You count 50 days, and then a new meal offering is brought before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rashi, what is the meaning of Usfartem Lachem, Mimachras HaShabbos? You count from Machras HaShabbos Hashviyas, ad mi machras haShabbos Hashviyas, until the end of the seventh week. What is the meaning of this? It says Rashi Kitagumai. Well, why don't you take a look in Targum Unkelus and see how he renders it? He says Shavuasa Shviyasa, the seventh week. That's because it sounds like almost redundant. Shabbos Hashviyas. The word Shabbos also comes, is related to the word seven. So in other words, it doesn't mean that the Yom Tov is at the end of Shabbos, as we said before, but rather the idea of Shabbos, Shavuos doesn't come out Saturday night, the Matzai Shabbos, but it says the idea of Shabbos here is not referring to the day of Shabbos, but once again referring to the week. It's a terminology for a week. Ad Mimochas HaShabbos HaShavuos, until the end of the seventh, V'loi Ad Bechlal, you don't go beyond that. In other words, Hein Arboim V'Tishim Yom, you count exactly 49 days. 49 days, and then on Chamishim Yoim, on the 50th day, Yikraftem Mincha Chadosho, meaning B'yem Chamishim Takrivua, on the 50th day, that's when you're going to go forward, and all of them may bring the offering. But even on Yerashi says, Zehu Medrashi, this is the way you can expound the verse. Avo Pshute, if you want to get very simple, Admimachas HaShabbos HaShviyas, until the end of 7 weeks, which what is the end of 7 weeks? 7 weeks, 7 times 7 is 49. What comes at the end of 7 weeks? That's the idea of Yom HaChamishim. So you count up until the 50th day, Tispiru. And basically, it's a Mikra Mesudas. It's kind of, you have to kind of rotate the words or reorient the words, jumble the words the other way, and you'll get the pshat that I'm telling you. So the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal of Prague, in his commentary on Rashi, says that it means like this. You'll count 49 days, and along with, when you count 49 days, the 50th day is as if counted. because you got up to 49 days. So the 50th day is identified. You actually verbalize counting 49 days. That way you count it up to the 50th day. Because the 49th day finishes, the 50th is as if counted up to. So it's kind of like you counted up to 50 days. Even though you didn't actually count 50 days, the 50th day is counted because you counted to the day prior, up till Erev Shavuos. So even though you don't say Yom Chamishim, it's as if you counted to Yom Chamishim. And that's what Rashi is telling us. The Rosh in Masechtas Pesachim says that the Torah always rounds things off. This is basically in accounting, I think they do the same thing sometimes. Not cooking books accounting, but just like you round it off to the closest 10. So people think that this was created by the founders of the abacus, which were, I think, Muslims who came from India or something, who created the abacus. But that's not true. Rounding off to the closest 10 is a Torah idea. And we see it here. 49. Rounded off to the closest 10 is 50. So it far precedes the abacus or algebra. Once you come to the 50th day, meaning once the Erev Shavuos is fully finished, that gives you Tmimos, a full 49 days, which means Shavuos cannot be brought in early. Shavuos can only be rung in when night falls and the 50th day begins. Once that happens, once the counting is fully finished, then and only then can you begin to celebrate the festival of Shavuot. Okay, that's the Pesukim with some of the commentary. And now we're going to study together a fascinating commentary from our Rebbe. Really fascinating. This is something, it's almost such a basic question, nobody asks it. Almost. Page Shin Yud Aleph. Yesh Lishal, we could ask, it's Yud Gimel in the Buren book. We could ask, since the counting of the Omer is linked to the bringing of the Korban Omer, as it says, Usfartim Lochem, you should count. From when should you count? From the day you bring a Omer HaTnufa, the wave offering. So the Rebbe asks a simple question, Madu Ala Yochol. Why do we not apply the rule of all kodshim? Kodshim is a euphemism for Beis HaMikdash related activity or material. Kodshim comes from the word kodesh, which means holy. The Beis HaMikdash, of course, is a holy place. And the things that are brought as offering are holy offerings. So we have a rule by kodshim. And the rule, when it comes to anything that's Beis HaMikdash connected, is halayla hoylech achar hayoyim. The night follows the day, which is different than the rest of Judaism. Because usually we tend to think in Judaism of the day follows the night. When does Shabbat begin? Friday night. When does any Yom Tov begin? The eve, the night before. And yet, when it comes to Kodshim, when it comes to matters of holiness, when it comes to matters of Korbanot, when does the consumption activity, when does it take place? It takes place the night after. A perfect example was, yesterday was Pesach Sheni. Yesterday was the time when they would have brought the Pesach offering. But yet, when was the Pesach offering eaten? We don't call today the 15th day of Iyar Pesach Sheni. We called last night Pesach Sheni. So it was the second Pesach. The second Passover offering was brought yesterday on the 14th day. And then, when is it eaten? The night after. When offerings are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and we have a rule, Ovar Zmanai Batal Korbanai, which means when its time expires, the korban, the opportunity for closeness, the opportunity for us to draw forth and to create communion, korbanos, kiruv, closeness with Hashem, once the time expires, the opportunity expires. So the korban has to be brought during the day, but it doesn't have to be burnt on the altar during the day. It can be burnt on the altar on the night that follows. Why? Because that's how it is by kodshim. Halayla hoylech achar hayom. So the Rebbe asks, one second, since this whole counting is korbanot related, it's offering related, then why wouldn't we say the same principle, that the night follows the day instead of the day following the night? In order to answer this question, and the Rebbe acknowledges this is not an answer in derech hapshat, this is more like in derech hasidus, from the perspective of Hasidic illumination and inspiration. So first, in fairness, we have to establish the parameters of this principle with regard to kachim. Why indeed is it that halayla hoylich achar hayom? You can't ask a question, hey, the sfiras ha'omer, the night should follow the day. Why? Well, because by all matters of kachim, the night follows the day. So the Rebbe says, okay, don't you think we should first understand why the night follows the day by the other offerings? Why by kachim indeed do we have that principle? And once we establish and understand that principle, why it is by kachim so, then we can have a better understanding of why it is or isn't the case when it comes to sfiras ha'omer, which is really triggered by an act of kachim. It's catalyzed through the bringing of an offering. Okay, so what is the reason? What is the mystical, spiritual, or inner reason as to the night following the day? When we know that with regard to all other mitzvahs, the day follows the night. All other mitzvahs. Anything not based on Mikdash related, we always say the day follows the night. It begins the night before. Every Yom Tov begins the night before. A yard site is the night before. A birthday is the night before. Bar Bat Mitzvah is the night before. Everything which is time related, anything which has a mitzvah to be done, it's always the night before. Hasiba l'kach. The reason is, shebederach klal, hayimama maschila mehalayla. The reason that every day usually begins the evening before is because that's Seder HaBriya. That's how God created time. When he initiated the process of what we call time and set that into motion, it says Vayihi Erev, and then it says Vayihi Boker. It was evening, and then it was morning. And since when God created time, first he created evening, and only afterward did he create morning, so we simply follow that matrix. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker. In other words, Matzavoy Hahischalti Shel Ha'olam, the beginning with anything world-related, everything which is related to the concept of creation, the concept of dealing with God's world, which is the word olam, and that's a euphemism for the word helam, concealment. Anything world-related always begins in a matzav of erev. A matzav of, what does erev mean? Erev means darkness. Erev means darkness is falling. A situation of choshech va'afela ruchnis, a situation of darkness, spiritual darkness. The tafkide shel ha'adam, what then is the mission, the purpose of humanity, lahoyir cheshech zeh, to illuminate this darkness. How do you illuminate darkness? Be'oir ha'teirah v'ha'mitzvahs. When you bring the light of Torah, when you bring the illumination of mitzvahs. Lahapech es ha'erev l'boiker. In other words, our mission could be summed up as turning night into day. Bringing light where darkness reigns. Because darkness means confusion. Darkness means absence of light. Darkness means obfuscation, not having clarity. And light is, I have everything clear. I know exactly what I'm doing. I see everything before me. So that's really what our job is. Bekach, in this very element, shoyinim ha-karbonis, anything which is related to offerings in the Beis HaMikdash, would naturally be totally different from all the other mitzvahs. Ha-karbonis, einim evatem es hafichas choshech ha-olam la'or. The korban does not represent taking something which is dark and transforming it into light, because hey miyatskim gili oir elyon. The korban's idea is the profusion or diffusion of a loftier light. The whole idea of a korban is to bring a different level or dimension of light into the world. That's what a korban means. And nothing but a korban can accomplish this. All of the goodness, all of the righteousness, all of the fine, good, proper things we do, that's bringing light where darkness is. It's all about a transformation. We have to transform the physical reality. We have to be able to get past the darkness that Hashem created. But a korban is not dealing with the reality per se. Instead, it's bringing an added measure of light from a higher place. But here's the good news. Once you bring forth this incredible light, you usually can illuminate the darkness too. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash was a place from which emanated light. That's why the menorah was burning in the Beis HaMikdash, and the windows were shkufim atumim, which means slanted outwards. The only other reason you have windows like that is if you're in a fort and you plan to use a bow and arrow through the window, and you don't want anything to come back in, which wasn't the case in the Beis HaMikdash, which wasn't built as a fort. So why were the windows in that fashion? The answer is because it was a symbolic of light diffusing, light spilling forth from there for the whole world. So once you have the kachim, by kachim halayla hilich acharayim, by kachim the night follows the day. Tchila boyim hayoyim v'ha'or. The korban begins with an explosion of light. The korban brings forth an incredible light from Hashem. And once it brings this incredible light forth, even the night afterwards can get illuminated. But it's not about transforming the night. It's about bringing something from a higher place. And the Rebbe says, now that we understand this, the Zuhi, this exactly is the reason that when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, even though Sfiras HaOmer is, in a sense, connected to the concept of korbanos, it's triggered by an offering. Nonetheless, when it comes to Sfira, we begin with the night. We start in the dark. Why does Sfira say, why do we keep Sfira Zemer in the dark? Why do we have a situation of not halayla hilach acharayim, not the night following day, but night preceding? Very simple. We know that the days of Hachana, the days of preparation for Kabbalah Satayra, is what this is all about. That's what Sfira Sayim is about. We're preparing to receive the Torah. These are yomim, these are days, shebehem tzarech adam lezacheh esnafshei. During these days, we are supposed to be refining ourselves. L'takeh mideis, we're supposed to be rectifying the dark and rough edges. That's what we're supposed to be doing now. That's the whole idea of Sfira Sayim. We're supposed to work in character improvement, the character building. La'aleis l'eskadim besulam hamayleis, to continue to move forward, to progress, and the ladder of virtue, hamayvil, which brings us al kabbalas hatayda b'chagashvuas. That's that game of, hopefully not shoots, but only ladders. We're climbing. We were trying to get to matan Torah. And how do we get to matan Torah? By being better people, more refined people, by working on making ourselves better. Like the Orach Chaim said, the whole idea is lachem lahetiv lachem. You should prepare. Orach Chaim said latayir eschem, right? Or the famous teaching of the Maggid, which is vastly illuminated by the Alter Rebbe and the subsequent Rebbe, and the idea of Sfartim. The idea of counting is filling your life with light. So this is all about elevating yourself.
So why do we seldom have like 2 days at the end of Shavuos?
Why do we have 2 days of Shavuos?
It's nothing to do with seeing the moon. It's just mathematics. Anybody can count anywhere.
I'm going to answer that question soon. But let's first get this thing finished. Ha'ovde b'yemei ha'sfira ha'omer. The idea that in the day, when it comes to Sfira Sa'imer, we have to follow Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker, is because we all start off with unwholesome traits. There isn't a perfect person amongst us, certainly not born that way. So we eventually have to transform ourselves, but we all start off with all kinds of deficiencies. We are created with many, many shortcomings. Why? So we should work on those things. We start off with Erev. Every child is once a Vilde Chaya, an untamed animal, and you have to become a mensch, you have to become a human from being a Vilde Chaya. And this is the idea of taking Erev and illuminating it to Boker. And that, my dear friends, is why Sfira Sa'imer begins when? In the dark, the night before. Like all other mitzvahs, different than Kachim, even though the process is triggered by the bringing of an offering. In response to your question, if the whole Shavuos is only the culmination of counting and it's not the result of the calendar, so why do we have 2 days? What would be the question? The answer is that once we have a situation where some of the Yom Tovim are going to be 2 days, we can't have some Yom Tovim 2 days and some Yom Tovim 1 day. That wouldn't work. And therefore, we have a system, and the system in places, we have 2 days of Pesach, 2 days of Shavuos, etc., etc. The only day we don't have 2 days of is Yom Kippur, for very obvious reasons.